Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. I really want you to memorize this text. If you can memorize this text, it will benefit you. It'll benefit you because ultimately this is elementary school. If you don't know this, you're going to struggle with the rest of your Christianity. And the reason for that is there are certain things you have to have set in order so that you know and understand the middle school and then understand high school and then understand graduate school. So you've got to have all of that set in order so that you understand what you're talking about. Therefore, and sadly enough, and I do want to say this, I actually ask pastors every once in a while that I meet, I ask them how many baptisms there are. And then I ask them how many judgments there are. You would be blown away how many pastors do not know how many baptisms there are and do not know how many judgments there are. So we want to make sure you understand because you need to know the word. If I turn to somebody, say, know the word. That's right. Therefore, leaving, that means you've been there and you've moved on. The discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to maturity. The word there is perfection, but actually the Greek word is maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. We already covered that one. Of the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. So tonight we want to start talking about the doctrine of baptisms. Now, when we start talking about the doctrine of baptisms, you'll see there's a plurality there. There's more than one baptism. Now, there's actually three baptisms. We're only going to cover two. You have the baptism of water, the baptism of fire, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, next week, if you've not been filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, we're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to see God fill you with the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues next Tuesday night. So make sure you come ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we'll teach you first, and then you'll get filled with the Holy Spirit. Very easy. Amen. Amen. Very good. There. I just want to make sure you're still here with me. The doctrine of baptism. So there's three baptisms. The baptism of water, the baptism of fire, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, the baptism of water is one we want to cover right off the bat. Now, you see us pretty much every month, and we're going to be doing something new here, starting, I believe, in September. It's going to be really cool. It's called The Funnel. A really good name. And what we're going to be doing is all the people that are newly saved, after a month, they're going to go, and we're going to have like a revival service on a Friday night. And then on Saturday morning, we're going to be talking to them about some more deeper principles, how to get set and settled. And then we're going to, that Sunday, do a water baptism. So the same weekend, all these principles are going to happen. We're going to start that in September. And that will help people be more solidified instead of getting saved and being one of the other grounds, whether it be rocky ground or thistles and hard dirt or whatever it is, so that you can grow up in Christ. Now, the water baptism, one of the major misconceptions is simply that this is what I'm doing. I'm getting wet, going down in the waters of baptism, and I'm coming out showing that I've died to my sins and coming out. And I want you to realize that's part of it. But if that's all you've been taught, then let me tell you what happened. You got wet. That's not God's plan. God's plan is not that you needed a bath. Now, I will tell you, just to say it out loud, if you've ever seen the water baptism after first service, you know people needed a bath before they came. There are things floating that thing. Oh, my goodness. I saw some things. Jesus, help us all. This one time, now we baptized a lot of people. I think that Sunday over 60 people. But I saw something in it, and it was moving. You know, it was kind of like slimy kind of moving thing. And I wasn't sure. And I said, no, really, I dry heaved a little. And so I grabbed the towel and scooped it up and got it right out of there. Thank God for salvation. Amen. I saved everybody that day. Glory. So some things that are not true about water baptism is very important for us to know. Number one, baby baptism is not biblical. It's not in the Bible. I want to remind you, there are people that teach that when you are baptized as a baby, you are now going to heaven. That is not true. Now, I went to a service one day, and actually, we didn't have a water baptismal tank for a lot of years, most of the years, because we've never had a water baptismal tank. I think that's easier to say. We never had a water baptism tank until about 6 years ago. And so we would always go to another church. Well, this one day, this church that we used to use said to us, well, we're not going to let you use our baptismal tank anymore. And I said, well, why? And they said, well, because you have more people that come on a Sunday night than we do on a Sunday morning, and we just don't want to continue with that. I said, okay. So I called another church, a Pentecostal church, and I said, can we use your water baptismal tank? And they said, well, we don't do that here. And I said, I was kind of, you know, being sarcastic. Oh, you don't water baptize there? And they said, no, we don't lend ours out. I said, oh, okay. So we finally got one, and it was very interesting. But I went to a christening over at a church, an Episcopal church, and I didn't really know. I'd never been there. I'd never been to an Episcopal church at that point. And so here I am, and this is for the baby, and they're saying all the prayers and doing all the things. Then they bring the baby up, and they sprinkle the baby, and they said, now this child is going to heaven. It took everything in me not to jump out of my seat. Liar! I didn't do it. I didn't do it, though. I was a good boy. And because it's not true. Baby baptism is not in the Bible, and baby baptism does not send someone to heaven. So there are a lot of folks that come to our church that are from a Catholic background or Episcopal background or Lutheran background, and they said, well, I was baptized as a child. Well, that's nice. You got wet, and you didn't even know it. You screamed, though. But other than that, it's all you remember. And it didn't do anything for you. So you should be baptized if you've only been sprinkled as a child. Yes. Dedication is, that's really what's supposed to happen, the dedication of the child. So water baptism, according to these other isms, they believe that sends them to heaven. Dedicating a baby has nothing to do with the baby. It has to do with the family and the parents saying, we will raise this child in the love and the admonition of the Lord. So it has nothing to do with the baby. It's mainly just praying over the child, but then commissioning the parentals and the family that's there to live right before God. So very good question. Thank you. So water baptism. Oh, but I got to finish the story. So then they started doing communion. Never done communion there before. You know, I'm used to the cups. You know, and so all of a sudden, they you come up and you get a piece of bread, and then they handed you the cup. Cool. Well, I wasn't the first one. So when I got up there, they had been wiping the edges. And I said, I don't think so. Ain't no double sipper. I'm sorry. Ain't not happening. Ain't not happening. They go, no, sir. So, yes, they use the same cup and just wipe it. Not even with, like, sanitizing stuff. Just, like, somebody else's mucus is on there. You know what I mean? So baby baptism doesn't do anything for the baby. All it does is get the child wet and mad. Now, there are also denominations that teach if you are not baptized in the name of Jesus, you cannot go to heaven. It's very important. These are misconceptions. It's actually the church is just down the street from here, and they actually teach in that church that you are not going to heaven, even if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus, not the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus and speak with other tongues. I want you to recognize that you don't need to be baptized to go to heaven. Amen? Jesus said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He didn't say, and baptized, and speak in tongues. So you only have to confess Christ as your Savior. Now, these folks that actually believe this, the problem that occurs is that up until a few years ago, there was only one prison in the entire United States that had a water baptism. You want to know where that was? Elmira. So that means, according to their doctrine, that everybody that got saved in prison was still going to hell because they couldn't be water baptized. I remember one time walking into the hospital, there was a very elderly lady. She was on the precipice of death. And so I went to her and I said, you know, I just want to make sure you're right with God. And right there, we were able to pray, and she confessed Christ as her Savior. She gave her heart to the Lord. It was very exciting. I love the fact of seeing her go from death to life spiritually. And then she said, I know I have to be baptized or I can't go to heaven. I said, no, honey, you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. You need to be saved to go to heaven. And she had such a relief on her to know that she didn't have to get baptized to go to heaven. Listen, you don't have to get baptized to go to heaven. Jesus did not put extra prerequisites. He simply said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. But at the same time, we know that water baptism is the plan of God. Amen. Jesus got baptized. Whatever Jesus does, we do. Okay? So let's talk a little bit more. What does the Word of God say concerning baptism? The root word for baptism is baptismo or bapto, means to whelm or be covered wholly with fluid. It means to completely be submerged. So when you get sprinkled, that's not water baptism. Water baptism is when you're completely submerged underwater, held down for about 3.5 minutes until your feet start to kick, and then they pull you out. No? There are some people, you know what I mean? You just want to hold down a little bit more. Seeing those people that are getting upset about all these chipmunks. I mean, I'm baptizing them. Glory to God. I mean, yeah. Yes, it does. So, for instance, a spendthrift would said to be submerged in debt. A drunk is said to be submerged in drink. A grief-stricken person is said to be submerged in sorrow. A lad before a cross-examining teacher is said to be submerged in questions. The word is regularly used for a ship that has been wrecked and submerged below the waves. So water baptism requires submersion, not sprinkling. And again, this is very clear in the scripture. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And the voice came from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That is baptismo, fully submerged. Christ Jesus, when he was baptized, was completely submerged and then came out not sprinkled. Amen. Now, I kind of jumped ahead a little bit, but do you need to be baptized to go to heaven? The answer is no. And I want to read the portion of scripture that we talked about a little bit last week, but I want to just reiterate about Paul when he went to Galatia. Remember, the Judaizers would come in after he left, and he'd say, Paul is right. You need to be saved like Jesus, through Jesus, but you also need to do this, 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 this. You need to be circumcised. You need to keep the feasts. You need to keep the festivals. And Paul got adamant because he said, no. Who has so easily bewitched you or twisted you up? There's only one gospel. If anything else, if I spread another gospel or an angel appears and gives another gospel, let them be cursed with a curse. I'll read that verse for you. I marvel that you are turned away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Jesus Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what has been preached to you, let him be cursed. For as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches another gospel to you other than what you received, let him be accursed. Later on, he says, let them be emasculated. He's that intense because he says you cannot twist the gospel up. So water baptism is not necessary. But let me tell you something. When you realize how important it is and powerful it is and why Jesus instigated it in our lives, you're going to want to be baptized. And if you were somebody that just got wet, didn't know what you were doing, didn't understand what was happening, didn't have faith to receive from it, then you should be rebaptized. It's okay to be rebaptized. Jesus is all right with that. Amen? So we go to the next page. Look at that. I'm doing really good tonight. Are you proud of me? We are on page 14 in the purple book. If you are 76 in the blue book, 76. Give or take a few. Are you close to 76, Auntie? 86. Well, it depends on which book you have. The oldest Rock Solid Faith book is 76. The newest Rock Solid Faith blue book is 86. We had some additions. So, what is the actual purpose of water baptism if it's not getting wet? This is so important because I want you to hear me. Jesus never did anything just to do it. He never did anything for religious repetition. Just like when we take communion, it becomes very much repetition in many churches where it's, yeah, well, you know, I drink the cup, I eat the bread, da-da-da-da, yeah, we had communion this morning. But it has no significant meaning to them at all. I just want to remind you that Jesus never did anything without supernatural significance behind the purpose. And water baptism is absolutely no different. It is not a ritual. It is a supernatural experience. And when you start seeing this, oh my goodness, it just brings a whole new understanding. Thank God for salvation where he washes your sins away. But water baptism takes you to the next level to where you are able to be more free in the power of Jesus Christ. That's the challenge. The challenge is not getting someone to heaven, but getting them free while they're here on earth. Really, I need to say that again. Getting to heaven is great. We're going to go to heaven. Amen. Washed by the blood of Jesus. But you're not there yet. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Knowing and recognizing how to be free and learning how to live a life of deliverance to where you're no longer confined or controlled by your past sins. And we'll get into that in a second. So here we go. I don't want to jump ahead. Water baptism does nothing for your spirit because your spiritual man is now possessed by the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you, you are a trichotomous being. Everybody say trichotomous. Now, animals are dichotomous, you know, like those chipmunks. They're dichotomous. What is dichotomous? They have a soul and they have a body. What's a soul? It's your intellect, your emotions, and your will. So animals have intellect, emotion, and will. They say that sometimes a dog owner, if he dies, the dog or the cat will go into mourning and will actually have emotions to that, go into depression, stop eating. When my dog goes over to a family's house, they spoil him to death. When he comes home, he goes into mourning for about 2 days. I'm not even lying to you. He just lays on the floor. Because he has a friend over at the other house, you know what I mean? Just lays on the floor and gets depressed. What are you going to do? But dogs have intellect, emotions, and a will. And they have a body. But you and I are not another animal on the planet. You know how people have said, well, we're just another animal on the planet. We've just evolved into man. That's baloney. For goodness sakes, we've been created in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And what is the likeness of God? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are three yet one. You and I are spirit, soul, and body. We are trichotomous. You have a spirit. Everybody has a spirit. Every human has a spirit. Your spirit man is either alive or it is dead. If you are dead in your trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, then you will be damned to the lake of fire. You are dead, and the Bible says you will experience what is called the second death in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. But if you are born again, you are now alive in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. You have now become the very temple of the Holy Spirit. Your spirit man now literally becomes possessed by God himself, by the Holy Ghost. So that is the living you. Amen? That's you. That's the real you. That's who you really are, is your spiritual man. Now, if the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of your spirit man, he's dwelling inside of you. That's why we know that you cannot be demon-possessed as a Christian, because the Bible says if a house is divided against itself, it cannot stand. So if the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, a demon cannot. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So, as you are a spiritual man, you are now, you also have a soul, and that's where the contention is. Everybody pinch yourself, make sure you're alive. Amen. That's your physical body. Your physical body is a slave. either to your soul, intellect, emotions, and will, or to your spiritual man. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. Amen. So the Bible says that as you and I are born again, we are to allow the Spirit of God in Him we live and move and have our being. Amen. So we are to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So the spiritual man, that is the real you. That is the one that is going to be you. That is when you get to heaven, the real you. And your soulish man is still the real you in your personality aspects. But the goal is to bring your soulish man in subjection to your spiritual man. Now, the problem before you were born again, what happened was, is that you lived completely out of your soul. And certain things have happened in your soulish realm that need to be broken and need to be free. And that is, there are certain things in your situation, like soul ties. Anybody ever heard of a soul tie before? Soul tie is when, this is what we're dealing with this right now, in a mass thing right now with young people. And that is more ladies than men. Right now, sexual partners, if you can keep a couple out of bed for a month, you've done really, really well. And the goal is, amen, you're not supposed to have sex until you're married. Everybody say amen or my glory, 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 glory. The reason God says not to commit fornication is not because God's trying to steal fun from you, but because God is trying to protect you. Because He knows your soul will create a soul tie the moment you are sexually intimate with somebody you're not married with. We're seeing this more in the ladies. Now, let me explain what that means. The research has shown and said that right now, on average, I think it's 7 to 9 sexual partners a young lady is having before she actually gets married. So what happens is, when they're intimate, because a man releases, how do I say this properly? Because there is fluid that is, because they have sex. Jeez, just say it, you know what I mean? When the man ejaculates into the woman, well, I wore a condom. I'm sorry, same principle. Yeah, and even that, same principle, you're inside. You are inside. The moment you are inside a woman, men are just simply dogs. They don't care. But women, there is an emotional connection with the man. So what's happening right now, and why God is trying to protect us, is because what's happening is we have these women are having multiple emotional divorces. Not paper divorces, because they're not married, they're just being intimate. But they're having many emotional divorces, because now they have a soul tie with that individual. Now the two shall become one flesh, is what the scripture says. Now you've broken that, and now there's an emotional abandonment that they're dealing with. That's why God says don't have sex before marriage. Not only that, STDs. Jesus help us all. You need to realize STDs right now. I've had people in this church have been divorced over STDs. Amen. New York State does not demand to be tested. And I just want to let you know, before you're intimate with anybody, besides you should be married, you want to make sure they don't have an STD or DDT. Or PSD, or some other ED, or something like that. You know, all the D's are in there. You want to make sure that they're clean. We had a man in our last church. He got into drugs as a teenager and shot up a few times and didn't know. It was a dirty needle. Got married. They had 5 children. The wife had not AIDS, but she had, what was before that? HIV, and all the children had HIV. And didn't know. Didn't get checked. But I know it's very normal these days that the number one increase of STDs right now are in people over 60. Nursing homes. Also, people in their 40s and 50s. Let me explain why. They're usually into their second marriage, or they've gotten divorced. Now they're out on the field. They were fixed. They know they can't get pregnant, so they don't think enough. And then they caught. And now high schoolers have a mass amount of STDs going around. The average girl having sex now starts at the age of 12. So we're seeing a big shift, and what's happening is the sexual revolution way outdoes the 60s. And we're dealing with a lot of people that are creating scars within their soul. Never mind if you were sexually abused. That's a whole other aspect of abuse that wounds your soul. So here we are. God's desire is to get your soulish man healthy. Jesus did not save you just to go to heaven. If he did, you'd die the day you got saved. How do you grow a church for that? You know what I mean? Hi, how many would like to receive Jesus? Five people come up and drop dead. I mean, it's hard to grow a church like that. Yeah, I mean, you might get five, you get 10 people visiting the church that day, and the only 10 people in the room, because everybody else has already died. Boy, I want to go to that church. You know, so it's like, you know, this is you are not in heaven yet. So the whole deal here is God wants to make you healthy. But you say healthy. Just tell somebody, I deserve to be healthy. Come on, tell somebody else, I deserve to be healthy. When we start talking about health, we usually think immediately about physical. But it's spiritual health, emotional health, and body health. God, through Jesus, paid for you to be a healthy individual, spirit, soul, and body. He does not want you walking around wounded, controlled, and destroyed inside. And really, it blew me away and my wife away when Brother Teddy was here, and he said, if you are dealing with depression, if you'll come forward, and 2/3 of his tabernacle came to the front of the sanctuary to have prayer. It's like it just shows that we need some more messages. So I'll be preaching next month. We'll be preaching, starting a series on, not next month, the month after, on next level health. Not just physical health, but we're going to cover 2 weeks and maybe 3 weeks of emotional health. How God wants to make you a healthy person. Spirit, soul, and body. And water baptism plays a large part in that. Other things that happen in your soul that you can expect a supernatural freedom with, and the destruction of bondages, and that is from addictions. There are people that have so many different types of addictions, and Christ, when you go down in the water, the supernatural experiences, as you are releasing your faith to be freed, that spirit or that influence or that addiction that's in you will be broken in the name of Jesus. Whether it be drugs, whether it be cigarettes, whether it be alcohol, sexual, even down to the place of being television owned. Those hurts, those wounds, God wants you to be healthy. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, that he came to heal the brokenhearted. You deserve to be healthy. And water baptism plays a massive part in that. It's not about getting wet. Yep, I'm showing on the outside what it is on the inside. Okay, that's nice. But the real purpose is a supernatural experience to break off from your soulish man anything that controls you, anything that is holding you back, that freedom, that liberty, not in your spirit. Your spirit can't get any better. God lives there. But your soul, your intellect, emotions, and will, God wants to free you there so you can have full health in your life. Amen? Isn't God good? God is good. Now, the power of sin in our life, it also breaks this in our lives. There are sometimes we have stronger sins. How many of you know that we all have what we call an Achilles heel sin in our life? It might be lying. It might be cheating. It might be half-truths. There's so many types of sins. I don't care what that's between you and Jesus. I'm not saying it. All I'm saying is everyone's got something they struggle with. One thing that's more prominent than another. Somebody might be struggling with cigarettes where somebody else's cigarettes never even been a thought for them. So no matter what the sin is, you need to know that water baptism plays a part in breaking that power of sin in your life. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. I love this portion. It's so powerful. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Absolutely not. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? Now, I want to remind you, everybody says, you know, people that have gotten saved said, well, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not a sinner. Before I knew Jesus Christ, I was a sinner by nature. We see that in Ephesians chapter 2, that we have the nature of our father, the devil. He's a sinner. He's a liar. But when I got saved, I changed natures. I have what's called the divine nature found in Peter. That now we have the divine nature of God. What's the divine nature? The supernatural nature of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have a new nature. So what happens is a lot of people say, well, I'm just a sinner saved. No, no, no. I'm a saint saved, set free. I have no sin that controls my life because no sin has a right to overpower me. Amen? We know that according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says this, that there is no sin that comes in our life, no temptation that comes in our life that God does not give us a way of escape. We have power over sin. Let me finish reading instead of just saying it. Or you, do you not know that as many of us that were baptized in Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of our Father, even so we also should walk in newness. Somebody say newness. Newness, that means just like a brand new baby. When you're baptized and you're baptized and not getting wet, but expecting a supernatural experience in your life, that literally God washes your soul clean, just like a brand new baby. Restart. If we have been united with together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also in the likeness of his resurrection. How is that possible, Pastor? How is it possible? I've lived 35 years. I've lived like hell. I've had hell live me. And how in the world are you saying that if I get baptized, that all of a sudden I have newness in my soulless realm? I'll tell you how, because it's not a natural experience. It's not a natural thing that happens. It is a supernatural thing that happens, just like salvation. Salvation, it doesn't make any sense to the flesh, that if I confess the Lord Jesus with my mouth, believe that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. Jesus, come in my life supernaturally. My spirit now bears witness with his spirit that we are one. It's a supernatural experience, not a natural experience. So when you get saved, you have supernatural transformation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And when you get water baptized, it's the same thing. You get newness of life in your soul. Woo! Sorry. You ain't gonna shout, I'm gonna shout for you. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. That means all your old habits, all your old sins, all your old struggles, when you go down in that water, when you have faith. Now, I remind you that if you do not couple this with faith, then you just got wet. But if you couple your experience with the supernatural design of God, then when you come out of that water, the Bible says your old man has been crucified. That means the struggles of your past and your soul have been broken. Now, you have a right to let them back in. But they have no right to control you from that moment on. I love this part. That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Well, you know, Pastor, we all sin. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to sin another day in your life. What? What do you mean, Pastor? I'm telling you right now, if you're born again, you don't have to sin one more time. You can actually live a sinless life. How is that possible? Because we've been raised in Christ. We're no longer slaves to sin. Sin has no dominion over us. We have dominion over sin. The devil didn't make you do it. Amen? If you and I sin, we have to override the conviction of the Holy Spirit to sin. Because the moment we start to sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know not to do that. Don't turn on that channel. Don't, come on now. Don't read that book. Come on now. You know where you're supposed to be. Get there now. Come on. Come on. Don't you go to that bar. You know better. Don't you pick up that drink. I don't care if they hand it to you. Come on now. Don't you do the Holy Spirit convicts you. Convicts you of sin. So the only way you and I as believers sin is when we say to the Holy Spirit, mind your business. I got this thing. See, sin has been crucified in your life. So when we sin, it's a willful choice thing. Amen. 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 Sing it now. Amen. 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 You are no longer a slave to sin. This is what the baptism does. This is what water baptism does. You see, when you get wet, you get wet. But when you go down in that water, the old man is crucified. Your soulish man is being brought up in the newness of life. That means all those old things, all those old wounds, all those old addictions, all those old soul ties have been dropped down in that water and are now submerged, is dead in Christ. But now when I come out, I'm alive in Christ. No longer am I controlled by any sin. I was once a slave to sin, but now I'm free because I've been baptized and set free through water baptism. Say amen. Amen. I read that to you, so you can't deny it. That's in the Bible. When we get baptized, things change. Our nature changes. I already said some of this stuff, so I'll just read it to you. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you were made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked. Everybody say once. That means now you don't. You once walked according to the course of this world. Now you don't. People say, don't judge me. You don't have to judge somebody. They judge themselves. If you're still walking in accordance of the old nature, there has been no change, then you got to get back to the cross and get saved. Because you did not have a transformation. Not saying you're going to be perfect tomorrow, but I'm saying there has to be a change. I'm not going to sing that song. I was going to sing that song. I won't sing it. Here we go. According to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also you were once conducted yourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh being the soul, and of the mind, soul, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So somebody that's not saved, their father is Lucifer. Well, I don't run around and dance around a pentagram naked and slaughter children. No, but you're still serving him. So the very nature of an unbeliever is sin. As a Christian, we have a new nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, as his divine power is given to us all things. Everybody shout, all things. His divine power, that means his supernatural power. The word power there is dunamis, the supernatural power of God, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So everything you need, well, you know, I'm just struggling. I don't want to hear that. That's not true. It's not true. That's only true if you deny God and deny his word. Because God's word is simple. All things, he's given his divine power and has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you need is provided through the power of Jesus Christ. Everything you need is provided by the Holy Spirit who dwells where? Inside you. He doesn't have to come from heaven. He dwells inside of you. You have everything you need to be successful. Everything. Amen. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which he's given to us an exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption through the world from the world through lust. So literally, not figuratively, literally, you took on a brand new nature. You are not the same person. Not the same person. When somebody gets saved and there is no change, it means that they did a head confession and not a heart confession. We call it mental ascent. They mentally ascended, desired to be saved, but didn't really want God to control their life. Mental ascent. God demands faith. You are saved by grace through faith. not of works, lest any man should boast. You and I can't get any better than we are in the aspect of making our way worth going to God. You cannot earn your way to heaven. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. But when you recognize that you are a sinner and you repent from your sins, godly repentance, godly sorrow brings repentance. When you repent, there is a change in you. You are not the same man. You are not the same woman. And then when you are baptized, glory be to God, when you are baptized, that death that happens in that water, when you are submerged, baptismo, when you are completely underneath that water, there is a supernatural release of God's power, and it starts breaking, healing. And when you come out of that water, it makes no sense to the natural man, but all the sense to the spirit man. And then you come out a brand new man, a brand new woman. Newness of life. Isn't that cool? Well, I just thought I was a Jesus person. No, you're not just a Jesus person. The Bible says that the kingdom of God dwells inside of you, that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are an ambassador of the Most High God. You're not weak. You're strong. And there's not one sin that controls your life. Can I hear an amen? You have that new nature. When you're baptized in water, this is where that supernatural power of God is released. Your soulish man is given newness of life. Let me see. You are brand new. I recorded all these. Did I memorize this chapter? Possibly. Let me see. Old man, we are done. Jesus. This is a short chapter. Yeah, we are done. Anybody have a question on water baptism? Now listen, I encourage you. I had one person say to me, well, I'm not going to get water baptized because I'm really fat. No, really, that's what they said to me. They said, I'm really fat and I'm really embarrassed. And when I come out of the water, I don't want my folds to be seen. So I'm not getting water baptized. And I simply looked at them and said, it's a shame that you're willing to allow the pride of life to keep you from freedom. Who gives a flying leap? It's none of their business. In fact, we had a phenomenal miracle. I believe it was 3 months ago, maybe 4 months ago. Maybe it was 5 months ago. Ray Decker's wife, she had had a stroke and wasn't able to walk without the walker. And they just declared freedom. He picked his wife up and put her in the tank. And when she came out of that water, she took off. You saw that, huh? That was a miracle. Happened right there. I've seen people baptized in the Holy Ghost coming out of the water. Many times I'll prophesy, minister to you in the spirit over when you come out of the water or just before you're going in. And I there are people that have gone, then they've gone out in the spirit in the water. We got to keep them up. Carry them out sometimes. We've had a few we've had to carry out of the tank because the power of God hits them so strong they can't even stand it. They're out. I'm talking out. It's amazing. It is an exciting time. And we always do it during worship because I want the highest level of anointing possible. And what I've always found is that some of you, maybe you've been in the tank, but you'll watch from now, you'll understand more. When we're baptizing, I will never let them be baptized until I feel the release of the power of God in their life. So sometimes you'll see me stand there and pray over people for 15, 20 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes, and I'm just waiting. Why? Well, because I don't want them to get wet. This is about supernatural. And so I'll wait. Is anybody here that I waited on for a little bit? Anybody I waited on? I waited on you. Anybody else? Yeah, a little bit. I made sure that you understood everything. Amen. Yep. I just want to make sure that when you... Now, listen, it's been really fun because I haven't had to get in the tank. You do know the time when they tried to kill me, right? In the tank. Josiah Skinkle, everybody should go up and say, you should never kill the pastor. He cranked the heater up to 109. I was in there. That was the week we baptized over 40 people, I believe it was. I was in the tank for almost an hour. When I got out of there, I was very, very, very cooked. I got to my office. They had to give me 2 Gatorades just to be able to come out and preach. I mean, I was like done. And so I told them I hated them. If there was possibility of children, everything was cooked at that period of time, so it was all over. So, you know, a hot tub, you should only be in it, what, 10 minutes, 15 minutes? Yeah. Okay. We love Josiah Skinkle. Then he decided another time just to make it very cold. I don't understand. I think it's animosity coming out. You know what I mean? Does anybody have questions concerning water baptism? Yes. We have a microphone. We do microphones simply because they can't hear anything you say.
Why do we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost instead of in the name of Jesus?
I do both, just to mess people up. So we'll baptize one in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, baptize the next one in the name of Jesus, baptize the next one in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, baptize the next one in Father, Son, Holy Ghost, baptize the next one, Father, Son, baptize the next one in the name of Jesus, because it's the principle and the power of. We find in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, go and preach the gospel, baptize them in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But we see in the book of Acts where they baptize in the name of Jesus, same principle, same unction.
So you said that Ray Decker's wife had experienced healing, but so healing is our covenant right through salvation.
Correct.
And water baptism is destroying soulish bondage. So can you just explain why her healing was associated with her baptism?
Yes. Sunday's message, point of contact. Her faith level is that when she hit the water, she was going to be healed. Really didn't do anything for her soul. But her point of contact was when she hit the water, she was going to get her miracle. And she did. Remember, point of contact, laying on of hands, spit. I did try that once. Didn't work. I spit on somebody once on purpose. They came up for a healing of their eyes, so I went. They weren't upset. They couldn't see. But, you know, hey. You never know until you try, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm sorry, you were covered. You were very bright though that day. Do you remember when we were up in New Hampshire, I did those revival services and the power of God hit that service when we had the anointing. So we poured anointing oil. We didn't like sprinkle anointing oil. We didn't cross people with anointing oil. We literally poured anointing over people's heads, told them to wear bad clothes. And when the anointing hit them, I remember Uncle Harold, he was just a mess. And not just because of the oil, but I mean, God got a hold of him. You know, and the anointing oil. I remember also in Gardner, Massachusetts, I went to go lay hands on a man who weighed, I don't know, how much Neil weighed, probably 240, 250. He was weightlifting back then. And I got about this far away, reached out to release the anointing. You're going to hear this when we get into the laying on of hands. And all of a sudden, literally, he was picked up and thrown back 3 rows. Didn't touch the first 2. Thrown back 3 rows, smashed everything out, and it was metal chairs. And he just laid there. He was out for like, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes. When he got up, he said, Pastor, did you see that? Now, there's no way he's going to pick himself up and throw himself back that far. That was the power of God. He said, did you see the lightning coming out of your fingers when you got near my face? He said, that's all I remember, seeing the lightning, and that's all I remember. Supernatural. God is supernatural, not natural. Oh, I'm sorry, go.
Can you get baptized again if you wanted to?
Sure. You know, you got to ask yourself why you didn't get it the first time.
Well, I did get baptized a long time ago.
So you got wet or you understood?
I understood, but I think I understand better now.
Great. Have fun. Get wet on that Sunday whenever we do it. If you want to sign up for water baptism, it's really easy. You go to histabernacle.com, scroll down till you see water baptism. It'll tell you the date, and you can sign up right online. Any more questions on water baptism? Yep. Mrs. Microphone, Miss Microphone. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I was just prophesying. Jesus. Lord, find a man.
There you go. Going back to the lady's question about the connection between the water baptism and healing.
Yes.
Just, I know of several people who have been believing God for healing, but were really struggling because of things that had happened in their past.
Yes.
Where they had not forgiven themselves and where they were not sure that God had really forgiven them.
Yes.
And in during the water baptism, God gave them the faith to know that he had forgiven them and gave them the grace to forgive themselves. And following that,
and
they
got
were
the healing.
Both healed.
Amen.
So there is a connection.
There is a connection. Absolutely. Unforgiveness is a big one. If you have unforgiveness, you won't be healed. Anybody else? Anybody online? I can't hear you. Sorry. No? Praise the Lord. Wow.